All right, let's be seated and take our Bibles and turn to Matthew 25. Matthew 25. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew 25. Slip your hand up if you do not have your Bible, just so we get a sense of how many struggling with bringing Bibles to chapel. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. All right, bring your Bible to chapel. Bring your Bible to chapel. Matthew 25. Matthew 25, the sermon title, the chapel message title, our time together. We want to look at this. Don't waste the school year. Don't waste the school year. Don't waste the school year. Matthew 25, verse 14, Jesus tells a parable. Let's get into this great parable and see what it speaks to us about. The kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and another 1, and every man according to his several ability, and immediately he took his journey. Then he had received the 5 talents, went and traded with the same, and made another 5 talents. Likewise, he that had received 2, he gained also 2 more. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckons with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou hast delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, gathering where thou hast not strawn. I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talents in the earth. Lo, there is thine 1 talent. That's what he communicates. Verse 26. His Lord answered and said to him, thou wicked and slothful or lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawn. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury or interest. Take therefore the talent from him, give it to him that has 10 talents. For unto every one that has shall be given, and him shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he has. And cast you, the unprofitable servant, into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let's pray. Lord, we need you to help. Master, we need you to come and bridge the gap between the truth of the Word of God and the hearts and minds of your people. We need you, O God, to connect and to work in an amazing way, in Jesus' name, amen. So let's look at the beginning of the text. The kingdom of heaven is a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants. Are you one of his servants? Are you one of his servants? You say, are you asking whether I'm a Christian or not? No, at this point, I'm not even asking whether you're a Christian or not. That's not what my concern is. I want to know, did God make you? If the answer is yes, God made you, then you're one of his servants. I'm not asking you whether you're a Baptist or whether you're a Presbyterian or even whether you're a Christian right now. That's not the concern of the parable. In fact, the parable makes no distinction between sacred and secular. The parable says that there's a kingdom of heaven is like a man. Life in this environment is like a man. Life in God's kingdom, the rule of God is like this. A man had some stuff, and he gave it to some people. It's really that simple. A man had some stuff, and he gave it to some people. So you need to think in your mind, What is this all about for me? In the parable, each human being received different talents. Each human being received different talents. Some human beings received 5 talents, some received 2, and some even less, 1. You tracking on that so far? Nod your head if you're tracking a little bit on that. So first of all, we recognize that everyone is not made equally. Everyone is not equal in this room. Everyone is not equal in this room. Some of you have incredible amounts of talents, and others don't have as many talents. That's just the way it is. We need to recognize we're not all equal in this room. There are some very gifted students in every grade. There are some very gifted students. And sometimes what happens is the gifted students actually mock the students that aren't as gifted, as though they did something themselves to make themselves gifted and others didn't. You see this all the time in the high school. You see this all the time in the junior high. Sometimes there are kids that are just athletic. They can pick up a baseball, and it's like they were born with a baseball. Then there are others that hitting a baseball is a very hard thing for them, and they are just not athletic. There's different people, different talents, different abilities. We're not all equal. That's just a fact. Are we all made in the image of God? Yes. Do we all have equal talents and abilities? No. That's just what the parable talks about there. Look at it very clearly in the text. How does he distribute them? I want you to notice a couple words here. He gave 5 talents to another man in verse 15, according to his several ability. If you have a gifting to music, if you have a gifting to athletics, if you have a gifting intellectually, it came from God. It came from God. God gave you that. If you have a driven personality, if you have an attention to detail, if you're a very capable person, if you're very articulate, if you're comfortable being in front of people singing, if you can do things well, if you can play soccer well, if you can handle a ball well, if you can read and comprehend well, that came from God. All right, that's message number one. That's the bottom line to the parable. A king gives to his servants 5, 2, and 1. That's the bottom line. Turn over to Romans chapter number 12. Now, on top of the talent, the money that is given, and we'll go into this talent in just a minute, on top of that, if you're now a Christian, if you're a Christian, if you are a born-again Christian, if you know for sure, I'm saved, I've been converted, then I want to read you another passage, and I want to pull the two together. Verse number 3 of chapter number 12, Romans. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. We're reading from Romans. We're reading from Romans chapter number 12, and we're looking at verse number 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us. I want you to notice very specifically what that verse just said. If you are born again this morning, you say, I am definitely a Christian. Christ is my Lord and I'm a follower of him. There's no doubt that at your moment of conversion, not only do you have talents, but God gave you spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. At your second birth, at your first birth, you received talents from God. Abilities, skills, resources, intellect from God. 5, 2, 3, 6, 4, 1. And everyone in this room has a talent. Everyone has at least a talent. Everyone has a gifting. Now, on top of that, as though that's not enough, on top of that, if you are converted, and some of you are not. Some of you are not born again yet. You've not been converted. But if you are, God has given you additional spiritual gifts. And you know what? Once again, not everyone has the same spiritual gifts. Not everyone has the same amount of spiritual gifts. God gives more spiritual gifts to some than others. He does not evenly distribute them. He does it according to his, what's the word the text used? According to his what? Starts with the letter G. According to his grace. According to his grace. God decides what talents Mark Rivera is going to have. God decides that. So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone one members one of another, having the gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on ministering, or teaching on teaching, exhorting on exhortation, giving on give, simplicity that he may rule with diligence, that he shows mercy and cheerfulness. Now, let's talk about this talent word. What is a talent? Most of the time, you think about a talent as an ability to do something. That's most of the time how you think about a talent. He's very talented, you might say. That means they can sing. That means they can dance. That means they can rap. Whatever you want to do, they're very talented. That's the word we use. That's not what talent means in this text. That's not what talent means in this text. Talent was a measure of currency in the Roman Empire. According to the ESV Study Bible, a talent was a monetary unit worth 20 years of wages. One talent was 20 years of wages. In the city of Fayetteville, in the state of North Carolina, the average individual makes, the average laborer makes $20,000 a year. The average laborer makes $20,000 a year. That's about $400 a week. About $400 a week. That's about $10 an hour. About $400 a week. This means that one talent in today's language was worth $400,000. $400,000. This means that two talents would be worth about $800,000. Okay? And five talents would be worth $2 million. Okay? We take three musketeers back there and do what we want with them. One talent. No, they're all one talent, so find another group. That's just not going to work. Do we have anybody here gifted? Anybody intellectual? Anyone at all that... Can we have any five... Hey, you had a five talent, two talent, one talent. 20,000, 40,000, 80,000. 2,800,000 and less. 400,000. Now, is that a lot of money? Yes or no? Is that a lot of money? Yes? I mean, if I was a wealthy, wealthy guy, and I'm not... If I was a Bill Gates or something like that, and I was looking to get my money, to do something with my money, and I said to you, here is $400,000, here is $800,000, here is, no, let's try it again. Here, I mean, you don't even bring your Bible to chapel. I mean, all right, here is $2 million. Now, I'm going to leave, and I'm coming back in a few years, and when I come back, what is my expectation? Tell me, what is my expectation? What? More what? More money. More money. My expectation is not for you to tell me, I still have that money. My expectation is that you go and do something in the Fayetteville business community with it, that you are to invest that. Buy a gas station, build a restaurant, start a business. You are to do something with this money. Whatever, do something with it. That's the expectation. Is that a reasonable expectation? Is that a reasonable expectation? Girls, is that a reasonable expectation? Is that a reasonable expectation? Is that reasonable? Is this man being unreasonable when he gives this fellow $200,000 and says, I'm going away, occupy, use it, invest? Is that an unrealistic expectation? Yes or no? Everyone agree it's not unrealistic. Is that fair? After a long time, the Lord of those servants comes and reckons with them. Reckons with them. Reckons with them. Verse 19. After a long time, the Lord of those servants comes and reckons with them. Reckons. What do you think this is all about? What's this word reckon talking about? What is reckon talking about there? He reckons with them. What do you think that's making reference to? What is that making reference to? Reckons with them. What do you think that's reckons? What is that all about? I mean, what is he saying there? Reckons. It's more than having a conversation, much more than that. A reckoning, a day of reckoning. What do we think we mean a day of reckoning? What would a day of reckoning be? Yeah, it's an accountability term, a day of reckoning. What does that mean, a day of reckoning? I haven't seen you in 10 months. You've had my money for 10 months. Now it's time a day of reckoning. What do you think we're going to do at the day of reckoning? Men, what do you think, Chris, what do you think we're going to do at the day of reckoning? What are we going to do at the day of reckoning? Any ideas what we might do at the day of reckoning? Gary, what will we do at the day of reckoning? Yeah, we're going to figure out, where's my money? I mean, I didn't give you this money up here. Hey, Zach, I didn't give you this money to blow. Okay, I didn't give you this money to blow. Jonah, this is a day of reckoning. What is that day of reckoning in the future for Christians? What do we call that day of reckoning for Christians? It's a day of judgment. It's the judgment seat of Christ. It's the judgment seat of Christ. Last night we saw in our preaching, Hebrews 9:27. It's appointed unto man once to die, and then the what? The judgment. Then the judgment. There's coming a day of reckoning for every single person in this room. A day of reckoning, a day of accounting, a day of judgment. And then what will I have to give an account for? What will I have to give an account for, students? What will I have to give an account for? What I did with my talents, what I did with my abilities, what I did with my spiritual gifts, what did I do with them? Don't waste this school year. Verse 20. And so he that received 5 talents came and brought another 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I've gained 5 more. What did the Lord say to him? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. The 5-talent guy who had $2 million, Jack, invested well, and when the Lord came back for the day of an accounting, his businesses did well, and he now has $4 million. Now, what do you think? He doubled the money. Is that a pretty good return? Everyone, is that a pretty good return? Would you keep working with someone who could double your money, Mr. Adams? If you had an investment consultant and they doubled your money, would you keep investing with them? Yeah, doubling money is awesome. You don't normally get doubling money. That's awesome. Now, please notice, again, look at the text. What happens with the 2-talent man? What happens with the 2-talent man? He comes and what's he say? He's also done it. He went from this initial investment of $800,000 to $1.6 million. Now, did he make as much money for his Lord? Yes or no? Did he make as much money for his Lord? Yes or no? No, he didn't. $4 million and $1.6 million are not the same. There's a $2.4 million difference between the two. So the one made a whole lot more money, Heather. A lot more money. A lot more money. So let's see what the accommodation is. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents. His Lord said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Is there anything difference between the accommodation that the $4 million guy and the $1.6 million guy? Is there anything different in the words? Look in your Bible, and I want you to look very closely. Is there anything different in the words between the two? Is there anything different? Look very closely in your text. Study your text right now and tell me, do you see any words different in what he said to the one versus what he said to the other? Is there any difference that you can tell in your Bible between the $4 million guy and the $1.6 million? Do you see any difference in punctuation or words? Does anyone see any difference? Does anyone at all see any difference? What's that? There's an extra thou. Okay, there's an extra thou. All right. Does anyone see any substantial difference, any accommodation difference? Any accommodation difference? Yes or no? What is the agreement? There is or isn't a difference? Okay. Now, this is great news. This is awesome news. This is incredible news. You say, why? Why is it such good news? Because this means that the less than intellectual, the less than gifted, the less than the best can hear the same glorious words from the Lord. This means that you don't have to be the star student. This doesn't mean that you don't have to be the number one athlete. This doesn't mean that you have to be the best looking in school and the coolest and the most popular and all that to hear the same words that that student that we perceive, key word here, is that number one student. Because they get the best grades, they score the most goals, they sing in choir, and they play the instrument better. And we know we don't play very well, and we can't seem to score just as well. And getting good grades is really, really hard for us. And it seems like everything comes easy to that student, Mr. Adams. It's just so easy for them. And I have to work so hard. And I don't get the same grade, and I've worked so hard. Is the Lord just as pleased with me, Mr. Adams? Or do we have a scenario where God is more pleased with the student who gets all A's, and I don't get all A's, Mr. Adams? I work so hard, but I just don't get it like everybody else. And is the Lord displeased with me? Because everyone in this room is not a five-talent individual. Everyone in this room is not a two-talent individual. There are one-talent individuals in this room. There are two-talent individuals. There are three-talent individuals. We are not all equal. You know, one of the biggest lies that's been sold in America, in the capitalistic America, Jason, one of the biggest lies that's been sold is if you just work hard enough, you can do anything. Not true. That is not true. All right, let me tell you right now, I can work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for the rest of my life, and I will never make the Olympic dive team. Not going to happen. Okay? I can work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and I'm not going to make the NBA basketball. No way. It's not going to happen. Jason, you can work 24 hours a day, eat 10,000 calories a day, and you're not going to make NFL football. It's a fact. It's just a fact. One of our biggest problems in America is we don't recognize who we are and then work towards what are reasonable things for ourselves. Reasonable things. You, every one of you students, all of us, every one of us, each of us have to realize, what is my gifting? What are my talents? What are my capabilities? What are my resources? And then I'm going to work towards what God has gifted me in. Stop having these ridiculous pie-in-the-sky dreams that never amount to anything. Figure out, what can I do well? What can I do well? If you are 17 years old and you're 5'2" and you still haven't grown and you weigh 100 pounds, you're not playing basketball in the NBA. We need to figure out what can we do well. What can we do well? What is our gifting? What are our talents and abilities? And then get busy working toward those. Now let's make this real practical. Here's how this should work in the Christian community following this model that God has given us. If I am a coach of a ball team, a coach of a soccer team, a coach of a basketball team, a coach of the cross-country team, I could very easily have a scenario toward the student that only scored one goal or one home run or one good catch gets more accommodation than the student who scored more scores because they weren't putting forth the same effort. What do you mean? What are you talking about? Well, you can take two basketball players right here, and one of them is more gifted than the other. Two basketball players back there. We have Will and, Yes, yes, Enoch with your long hair, and Jerron who's bailing out of choir, and Chris who should be playing soccer. So we have four players there. That's the problem with having a pastor who knows the students, okay? He can call it as it is. So it very well could be that on any given basketball game, the player who scores the least goals gets the most accommodation from the coach, even though he didn't score the most baskets, even though he didn't score the most points. Why? Why would that be? How would we have such a scenario? What would prompt a coach to have such a scenario like that? Victory. Or more than this 100%, right? I mean, he was just all out, unbelievable. Whereas the one that's really talented and it's really not too hard for him, he just pops him up and he's really not hustling the way he should be. He's really not taking five talents and turning it into five more talents. Really, in the end, he takes five talents and does six. But he looks like he's doing so much better because even when the guy who has two talents, Bethany, goes to four and the guy who had five and goes to six, it's still less than the six-talent guy. And so from our perspective, it doesn't still look good enough. So you know how we do it around here, because we don't have a Bible worldview, is the kid who's really not putting forth the effort still gets the praise and the popularity points. And the kid who's really putting out the effort, the student who's really working hard, still doesn't get it. Now let's go on. Let's see what happens next. Don't waste your school year. One student gets all A's and the other student gets B's and C's. Who is more pleasing to the Lord? Who is more pleasing to the Lord? Well, it depends on effort. It depends on effort. If you get all A's and it's easy for you to get all A's, don't expect some big accommodation from God. I will tell you who's going to get the accommodation: the student who had to work hard to get B's. The student who had to work hard to get B's. Now let's go on. Verse 24. Then he which had received one talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, and you reap where you do not sow, and you gather where you've not strawn. And I was afraid, and I went and hid my talent in the earth, and lo, there hast thine talent. There it is, one. Please notice how the man does not argue about accountability to God. Instead, he attempts to justify his actions by playing on a misperception of God. And then please notice in verse 26, his Lord answered and said unto him, now look at this, this is unbelievable. These are scary words. Notice what the scripture says. The description is intimidating. This description is harsh. Quite frankly, the description is brutal. Do you see it? Are you looking in your own Bible and do you see what verse 26 says? Just look in your own Bible so you can see what the Lord said. He calls him wicked? Wicked? This is wicked? This is wicked? How can this be a wicked thing? I'm not murdering anyone. I'm not raping anyone. I'm not stealing anyone. How can this be wicked? Those are wicked things. This is not wicked. How can this be wicked? I don't understand. Wicked is murdering everyone. Wicked is killing people. Wicked is stealing. Wicked is pushing an old lady off a bridge. That's wicked stuff. This is not wicked. This is not wicked. That's not what the Lord said. The Lord said, you are a wicked and lazy servant. Don't waste your school year. Don't waste your school year. Some of you are incredibly gifted and you're wasting it. You're wasting it. You're lazy. You are lazy. You're not hardworking. You fight laziness every single day. Laziness is your enemy. You want to fall short every day. You want to get it done quickly. You want to get it done over with. You really don't care about 100%. Your homework looks like you don't want to do it right. Your math problem looks that way. You are lazy. Laziness plagues you. Laziness is a plague all over you. We see it in practice. We go to the practices. And on the game, you run like you're a rocket. And on the practice, you drag across the field. That is wickedness. See, what we've done is we like to create, look at me, students, please, everyone turn and look at me. We like to create walls or separations. And we say, this is my religious life, and this is my secular life. This is my sacred life, and this is my secular life. And this is my sports life and my school life. And then this is my Wednesday night church life and my Sunday night and my devotion time. And God doesn't really care about this part of my life. God only cares about this sacred part of my life. There's no distinction in the parable between sacred and secular. It's all done to the glory of God. All of it. You cheer to the glory of God. You spike a volleyball to the glory of God. You run in practice to the glory of God. You do a science project to the glory of God. You turn in a homework assignment to the glory of God. You log into whatever you're doing to the glory of God. You don't make a distinction between secular and sacred. You don't make a distinction between God doesn't care about this. You don't make those distinctions. God cares about the volleyball game. God cares about the baseball game. God cares about you making your bed to the glory of God. Let me be even more practical. Brushing your teeth to the glory of God. See, how could that be? That's ridiculous, Pastor. That is absolutely ridiculous to say such a stupid thing as brushing your teeth to the glory of God. Is it really? Who gave you your teeth? Who gave you your teeth? Do you need teeth to eat? Yeah. Laziness is a plague that's killing us. Laziness is a plague that's killing us as a society. What are one of the major contributing causes of this? Video games. Video games. Video games. Video games are creating in America fat, lazy people. I'm not wrong. You might not like what I'm saying, but I'm not wrong. Students who otherwise would have been out doing things are not doing anymore. Mr. Adams, they're playing video games all day long. You say, Pastor, you're always after video games. You know what? There's nothing wrong with a break. There's nothing wrong with a breather. You put a ton of effort into Algebra 2, and you've worked for an hour and a half on Algebra 2, and you just want to clear out your brain, and you're going to go in 30 minutes. You're going to go for 15 minutes. But you're going to limit it, students. Why? Because I don't want to be called the wicked and slothful servant. But we have a major, don't waste your school year. We see students come dragging in, exhausted. Do you know why? Because they don't go to bed at night. Do you know why they don't go to bed at night? Because you're playing video games. That's slothful. That's wicked. You say, no, it's not. The Bible doesn't say, thou shalt not play video games. The Bible doesn't have to say, thou shalt not play video games. The Bible says, redeem the time. The Bible says, take what you have and do well with it. You can't do well in school when you're exhausted. You can't do well at practice when you don't eat well, you don't rest well, you don't hydrate. You see how this is a holistic thing. A holistic thing. That means the whole thing, students. God's concerned about your entire life, your eating habits, your sleeping habits, your personal hygiene, your time management. God's concerned about your entire life. everything. The one who goes from having 5 talents to 10 talents did not play video games all his life. He's the one that invented the video games. See the difference? He's an entrepreneur. He's a developer. He's a businessman. He invests well. You say, but I'm not a 5-talent student. Okay, you're not a 5-talent student. Okay. Are you a 2-talent student? Even if you're a 1-talent student, what does the Bible text say? Even if you're a 1-talent student, he says in verse 27, thou ought therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received at the bare minimum what? What's usury? What's usury? That's a King James Bible word. What's usury? Anybody have any idea what usury is? It's interest. It's interest. It's interest. I mean, at the bare minimum, you could have at least invested it. I could have got a 2% return, a 3% return. You did nothing with what God gave you. So let's see what happens to this man. And we're done. We'll see what happens and we're done. Take four, therefore, the talent from him and give it to another. Remove the talent from this one. And who am I going to give that talent to? Give it to the one who has 10 talents. He knows how to manage money well. Then what happens to this guy? For unto every one that has shall be given, and he that hath abundance, from him that hath not shall be taken away. All right, he's taken away. You lose it. Now look at verse 30 and we're done. Look at verse 30. Anybody looking? Look at verse 30. What's it say? What happens to this guy? Where is this man cast to? Where's he cast to? Jillian, what do you think he's cast to according to what you read? Where? Prison or something? What's it say? Outer darkness. What do you know about outer darkness? What's the language of outer darkness? There's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. What should immediately come to your mind with weeping and gnashing of teeth, Victory? Hell. Hell. You say, no way. I'm not going to hell. How do you know? How do you know you're not going to hell? Honestly, how do you know? How would you argue with me that you're not going to hell? Because this one goes to hell. Take that wicked servant, that lazy servant, remove from any talent that he had, and cast him into outer darkness where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Daniel, how do you know you're not going to hell? That should be of concern to every student here. Every student here should be concerned. How do I know I'm not going to hell? Because this guy had an understanding of who God was. He said, I knew who you were, God. He knew who God was. See it? He said, I know who God is. He's not an atheist. He's not agnostic. He knows who God is. And he doesn't get welcomed into the kingdom of God. Instead, he's moved out into outer darkness. Well, here's my thought, and we're done. If you're a Christian, if you're really a Christian, if you've truly been converted, if God's really made you a new creature in Christ, then you're going to take something with God gave you and do something with it. The clearest indication that you're not really a Christian is that you're not doing anything with what God gave you. You're not doing anything with what God gave you. You really don't care. You really don't care. It doesn't bother you that you're not doing anything with what God gave you. It doesn't really bother you. It really doesn't bother you. You think, I've prayed that little prayer and I'm all set. In my church, they told me if I pray that prayer, I'm all set. So I'm all set. And even though I don't do anything for God, I don't do a lick for God, and basically I'm a lazy, wicked person, I must be good to go. And I'm here to tell you, be careful. Wake up. Wake up. You might not be. You might not be. You might not be. Are you doing anything with what God's given you? you have any talents and abilities? Or are you doing anything with it? Are you doing anything with it? Let's pray.